Huddle Up Podcast. It is Monday night, January the 15th, as I am recording this. This is the Observations with Big Jim. I'm your host, Big Jim, and it has been quite a while since I've done one of these. I actually think it goes back maybe even into November. Beginning of December. So it's just been a little over a month since I did an Observations podcast. I do apologize about that. Not long after the last one, I don't know if I got sick or I just lost my voice or somewhere in between. Then that happened, and then the holidays happened, and I just kind of got out of routine on doing the Observations podcast. So I do apologize that it's been a little bit, and I will jump into them in just a second, but I want to remind everyone of where you can follow the show and follow me. You can follow me at Big Jim Sports on Twitter. You can follow the show at Huddle Up Podcast on Twitter, on TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube. You can now get us on Instagram at Huddle Up Podcast Inc. I believe is where we are at over there. I just created the account, Huddle Up Podcast Inc. over on Instagram. So make sure you give us a follow everywhere that we can be found. And really, I want to thank everyone for getting the YouTube numbers up. We are up to 70 subscribers on the channel at last check, and continue that to grow, please. If you are subscribed to us there, share it, let people know about it. Our goal is to hit 150 subscribers by Super Bowl Sunday. And if you are not subscribed, head over there and give us a subscribe. And we appreciate that support of the show and everything we are doing. This last couple weeks have been tremendous over on the YouTube channel. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your support of everything we were doing, as always. To jump back in to this pod and this format in this show, I had six different things planned. I was going to talk about why Michigan, the University of Michigan, and what their football team did this year should give hope for sports fans whose team has not won a title in a long time. The close of the Notre Dame football season and looking back at the full season and what's in store and what they've done in the transfer portal and with a new offensive coordinator hire. I was going to talk about my preview of the NFL playoffs and who I think was going to end up in the Super Bowl. And I was going to talk about the roller coaster of emotions that I've gone through with the hockey season this year so far between my Washington Capitals and also my Hershey Bears. And I was going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and their playoff hopes and how I felt going into this postseason and how the only team that I was really, really concerned about, not that the Cowboys couldn't lose at all or any week leading up to it, but the only team I was really concerned about on the NFC side anyway was the San Francisco 49ers, because it was going to be a game that the Cowboys were going to have to travel to. And it was going to be a game that we had already seen earlier this season, and we saw what the Cowboys did, or should I say didn't do, earlier this season when they traveled to Santa Clara. And I was going to talk about how excited I was for the Dallas Cowboys playoffs this year, and how I was buying in, even though time after time I told myself, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. This team's going to sucker you in, and you're going to pay for it, and you're going to get upset, and you're going to be let down, and you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to be angry by this team, because you know what this team is. You know what this team ultimately does. But that somehow, some way, this team felt different. This team, even going back to the offseason, early in the offseason, multiple members of this offense went out and got you know, full leg tattoos together, and they stayed in touch with the coaching staff, and it was a renewed energy, and Mike McCarthy was going to call plays, and Kellen Moore was the problem, and everything was going to be fine. And throughout the course of the season, when things went really well, especially at home, not so much on the road, but especially at home, where you hadn't lost since the opening weekend of 2022, things were great. Home field advantage meant something, and somehow, even after the losses to Buffalo and Miami, fate found it that you would get home field advantage through every game in the postseason except for a game, potentially, at Santa Clara. But maybe somebody would beat the 49ers, and you would just have home games in the Super Wild Card round, in the divisional round, in the NFC Championship. If you noticed something throughout my lead-up and what I had planned, that's me crumpling up a piece of paper, because all of those plans are now in the garbage can that sits next to my desk here, Studio L, in the Huddle Up Podcast studio. And it's apropos, I think, that it is Studio L this week, because this Observations Pod is my eulogy of the 2023-2024 Dallas Cowboys. Yesterday, a 48-32 loss to the Green Bay Packers in the Super Wild Card round. And don't let that score fool you. This game was nowhere close to a 16-point loss for the Dallas Cowboys. It was much, much worse than a 16-point loss that was padded by garbage time that Dak Prescott supporters, apologists, are now touting that he looked good yesterday. Once he settled down in the second half. More on that in a minute. But 48-32, the Dallas Cowboys hopes and dreams, as well as Cowboys Nation, come to a close on a cold, snowy Sunday afternoon in Arlington. Maybe it's appropriate that it was a cold day in January when Green Bay comes to town and kicks your ass in Jerry World, where Green Bay is now 5-0, by the way, all time in AT&T Stadium. Maybe it should be renamed for a cheese, because apparently the Packers own that stadium and not us, but that's not for me to decide. With the loss, the Dallas Cowboys have not made it to an NFC title game or later in the postseason since 1996, when they won Super Bowl 30. Yeah, 30. I know where we are now. And they become the first team in NFL history to go 12-5 with no trip to the conference title game to show for it. That is also a NFL record there, by the way. Now, I understand they play more games and whatnot, so those sort of stats can become a little bit inflated, but doesn't make me feel much better about it. 48-32 loss. In a game that was never that close. I'll be 100% honest about it. I turned the game off when it was 20-0. I probably could have turned it off when it went 14-0, because that's the moment I knew that there's no coming back from this, because I've seen this before. And it's appropriate maybe that I missed the Dak Prescott pick six after I turned the game off. But yeah, I'm aware of Aaron Jones having a career day, Jordan Love looking like the third reincarnation of Brett Favre. At least on this Sunday. I don't know what he'll do the rest of the way. But I don't want to take away from what the Packers did, and the Packers, they showed up, they were aggressive, and they did what they had to do to kick the Cowboys' ass. So it's taking nothing away from it, but that's not what this episode is about. We'll talk about it tomorrow night, live on the Huddle Up Podcast, 8:30 Eastern Time on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Bing! So make sure you tune in, please. I would appreciate that. We will talk about the Packers. We will talk about what they did, what the Cowboys didn't do a bit, but I don't want to... I'm doing this today because I don't want to... I don't want to overtake the show with my anger. And the funny thing is, and I'll get to thoughts on what went wrong and things like that, but the funniest part about this is I'm not even that angry. I'm trying to find answers. I'm trying to reason with my own freaking brain of where the Cowboys can go from here, but I'm not even that angry. And I said that to my wife today, that it's odd. I'm on a whole different level of, I don't even know what. I'm resigning to the fact that this is what the Cowboys are, or whatever, but I don't know. It's strange that I mean, in years past, I would have been furiously angry, and that's just not what I am right now. And that's not even what I was yesterday. So what went wrong? What went wrong yesterday? And I guess this would be a much shorter podcast if I talked about what went right, because the answer would be nothing. Let's move on. And I'm not going to go super long form. You're not necessarily here me to go 40 minutes or anything stupid like that about what went wrong for the Dallas Cowboys. But what I can say is there's a few things that stuck out to me about what went wrong yesterday. And the first thing starts on the offensive side of the ball. I felt like the game plan changed from what this team has done throughout the majority of the season. It became predictable. It became conservative. And it looked like they were reading off of a script. Like if you've ever called a customer service line where you can tell they're reading off of a script, that's what it felt like the Cowboys offense was doing. Yeah, let's just keep running the ball on first down and second down, and then we can try forcing a pass in on third down. Oh, we got a punt. The only time the script changes when Dak Prescott threw an interception or a pick six. But they weren't able to utilize their weapons. Everybody looked defeated. For as good as Brandon Cooks was at the second half of this season, he looked every bit as bad as he did in the first three games. CeeDee Lamb looked like he was mentally not there. Tony Pollard once again continued to struggle. And here's what the frustrating thing is, and it's a thing on both sides of the ball, that obviously guys that were out for the year weren't back, but everybody that was available to play was healthy in there. So I can't even use the excuse anymore that, well, the offensive line was beat up, that we were missing two of our starters here, one of our starters there, where Tony Pollard, had a hamstring injury that was hindering him. No. Cowboys were at full strength that they could have been yesterday, and this is what we got. Another thing I noticed was the defensive game plan. For most of the season, the Cowboys played man coverage, and yesterday they went into zone coverage, and Jordan Love was able to just pick apart that team little by little by little by little, not to mention the fact that we don't have a fucking linebacker to stop the run. Thanks for that, Jerry. They literally just looked completely unprepared to do anything or stop anything Green Bay wanted to do. And something I said to friends of mine, something I said to my wife, who I'm sure she's tired of hearing about it now, is this is the worst Cowboys loss that I have ever seen. I don't know, because I don't know enough individual games going back in the franchise's history. But in my life that I've been watching this team, this to me is the worst. And it could be recency bias. But this is the worst Cowboys loss in my life. And this is why, okay? First off, I understand it's an expanded playoff field. And it's only been around for a short period of time. But, and as of the results earlier this afternoon with the Bills and the Steelers, this is the only time that a 7 seed has beaten a 2 seed. The Cowboys did all they could to make sure, you know, after the losses to Buffalo and Miami, they did everything they could over the close of the season. Wins over Detroit, wins over Washington. They even had the Eagles lose to both the Giants and the Cardinals. They only needed one of them, but both happened. You had a quote-unquote easy road. Nothing, I get nothing, obviously, is easy in the NFL postseason, but you had the quote-unquote easy road to the Super Bowl. You were statistically one of the best teams in the NFL on both sides of the ball. You were playing a team who was 9-8, who struggled to beat teams like New Orleans and the Giants down the stretch. We were told all season and all offseason that this team had learned from past failures. None of it mattered. None of it mattered. You got embarrassed and you got your asses kicked at home in a game that you were never in. A game that you were never in. So where do the Cowboys go from here? That's the question of the hour, right? There's a question of the week. For me, if I'm in charge, first off, Mike McCarthy, gone. Look, one playoff win. He's going into the final year of his contract. That's a lame duck year. And one message I heard from some of the breakdown day today is that the players love and respect him and his culture and everything that he's built. By all accounts, he seems like a real nice guy. So here's the thing. And that the players felt like they failed him. And Dak said it in his post-game press conference that if Mike McCarthy's the problem, then Dak's part of the problem too. And they stick up for Mike McCarthy. Cool. So either one of two things happens. Either Mike McCarthy's culture and everything he's built is bullshit, and he is part of the problem, or these players are part of the problem. Either way, it ain't working. And you've had multiple opportunities this year to play good teams. I get it, on the road. You failed to get your team ready. You failed to get your team ready in San Francisco last year. You didn't even get that chance this year because you failed to get your team ready and prepared and locked in for week one this year in the postseason. Failure after failure after failure. I'm getting rid of McCarthy. I'm overhauling the roster. I get it at Dak Prescott. $60-ish million against the cap next year. They're not going to be able to move him, okay? So you're stuck with, quote-unquote, stuck with Dak. I'd love to be able to move on from him, but you're basically stuck with him. I'm realistic about it. And the realism is you probably have to extend him to even have a potential to move on. But this is where I'm at with Dak Prescott. Now 2-7 in his career in the postseason. A 2-1 touchdown interception ratio, not great. Averaging one interception per game. Yesterday he had more than that, including a pick six. That was absolutely his fault. And in his postgame last year, okay, in his postgame last year, after the loss to the 49ers, it was, we're going to learn from this. We're going to get better from this. We know what we did wrong. We know what went wrong. This year, he had no answers. Stunned. I don't know how this happened. We don't know where we go from here. I don't know what happened. And that guy makes $60 million against the cap next year. Yeah, not to mention we're still going to have to pay Micah Parsons in a year or so, and CeeDee Lamb's deal's coming up, so this is a problem. I would move on from Tony Pollard. I would move on from Michael Gallup. I would move on from Tyron Smith and others. This roster, this core, is not going to get it done. They're not. I don't have all the answers on who to go get. And I get that roster changes are easier said than done. And the emotion is probably overpowering what can actually happen. I get those things, okay? But I want drastic changes to this team. I want Dan Quinn gone, or at least I can cross my fingers and hope that he's a head coach somewhere next year, because over the last half of the season, I understand there were injuries on the defense, but teams figured you out, Dan, and you did nothing to change it. I'd love to bring in a head coach that would bring some form of, I don't know, structure and discipline, because Mike McCarthy's team is the most penalized in football every year. Jim Harbaugh, Bill Belichick, come on, I can hope, right? Mike Vrabel, I can hope, right? Speaking of hope, wishful thinking, can we hire a GM? Can we let the head coach have some form of power in the organization, please? The reality is, and this is where I'm going to close. I'm kind of stealing this from Dan Patrick. Every day on the Dan Patrick Show at the end of the show, what did I learn today? So what have I learned this season? I'll start. Number one, nothing is ever actually going to change. And I look at the things like hire a coach who can bring structure, who have some power. It's not going to happen. Nothing's actually going to change while Jerry Jones is still there. How do I know? Because he basically gives the same post-game speech every year when there's another huge embarrassing failure by the Dallas Cowboys. I'm heartbroken and I'm sad and we don't know what happened. We're going to figure it out and we're going to get back to work. Shut up. Fuck you, Jerry. Okay? Like, at least come up with a different fucking script for the next time. You have a year. You have a year until we fail again. Find a new fucking script writer, Jerry. My only hope is that when he is no longer running this team, that his kids, if they take over, are actually smart enough to hire people to are going to be GMs and manage the football operations. And they just sit there and collect the check. But that's not going to happen for a long time, right? It's not. As long as Jerry's running the show, it's his team. He's going to run it how he wants to, because that's how billionaires work. I learned how I use the word desperate, but I don't think that's the right application, but I'll use it for lack of a better word. I am for the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl. Like I just want it. It is probably the second most title behind a Notre Dame national championship that I want in sports. And at times it feels like it's number one. And today my wife asked me, she's like, would you take like what the Rams did the other year when they basically like sold their soul to win it all? And I even interrupted her and I said, without hesitation. Because first off, look how quick the Rams have recovered. Like, I understand they lost to the Lions this weekend, but that team has so much crazy young talent. And they could have easily beaten them, and Lord knows what happens after that. But without question, because I just want one. There's no guarantee that you're ever going to see one. So if you could tell me, look, you're gonna get rid of your franchise guy and this and that, and you're gonna make these moves and you're gonna win a Super Bowl and then the bottom's gonna fall out. Cool. That happened in the mid to late 90s. And it's been almost 30 years that the team's recovered. I've been through hell with this team. just give me one piece of happiness. I'll go back to hell with this team. I also learned that I should never trust a Cowboys regular season ever again. Ever. Literally never again. At least until Jerry is no longer in control of this team. Because it's going to be the same thing. Like, all of the jokes about the Cowboys being, you know, this embarrassing fit, I can't even argue with them. That's the frustrating part. Is I can't argue against it because it's the reality of this situation. It's who they are. The Houston Texans have more playoff wins since their inaugural season than the Dallas Cowboys have had in that same period of time. I should never trust a Cowboys regular season ever again. And lastly, the thing I learned is that I'm probably never going to see my team win another Super Bowl in my lifetime. And I know that sounds dramatic, but like, I don't see a path to the Cowboys getting there. And I don't see the Jones family turning the team over to somebody else, even after Jerry's no longer running the team. So that's where I leave it. The end of the 2023-2024 Dallas Cowboys season. We will talk, I'm sure, about that and other things tomorrow night or Tuesday night, January the 16th, whenever you listen to this, on that edition of the Huddle Up podcast. You can watch us live on the 16th at 8:30 Eastern Time, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Otherwise, you can get us on all podcast platforms and YouTube as well. You can get me at Big Jim Sports. But until next time, please stay safe, stay smart, and as always, go for the win.